Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
It's The Jeremiah Show. Tearing back the curtain on music icons, pop culture, and food gods, we're bringing you the hottest guests from around the globe with your host, Kat, and your music business authority, LA personal development commentator, Mike Gormley. The Jeremiah Show is sound designed by master sound engineer, Dr. D. He's a restaurant and bar fixer. He's opened and fixed over 200 restaurants, bars, and hotels. He's a partner with legendary drummer Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Maui. And he's your radio host. Step aside, Superman, from A Race Around the Sun, Jeremiah and Kat.
Welcome to The Jeremiah Show. Okay, Santa Barbara, seasons don't change much, right?
Right.
We get the same thing pretty much all the time, Richard.
I'm not complaining at all. Right.
Kat, I think Austin, Texas is probably pretty similar. Not too many changes in the seasons. Actually, you had a frozen winter. You had a frozen house. You were an ice cube.
It's been a year of curveballs, yes.
But not normally, right? Like, there's not.
That's not normally how it is.
Well, by the way, we're glad you thawed out.
Yeah.
I know. I'm wearing a tank top. I'm warm.
Yeah, you look tan and healthy.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Thank you.
Anyway, so the springtime. Used to love it when I lived up in the Pacific Northwest, up in Idaho and up in Coeur d'Alene. But because the seasons changed and you had those differences. So what I look forward to here in Santa Barbara, since it is the same old beautiful thing every day.
Boring. Play my violin for you.
Everybody, this is the time you get your tissues out. Top Chef. Top Chef is on. Top Chef premieres in spring. And so I look forward to that because I don't have the seasons changing. And we've got a really, really dynamic, talented chef on the show today. I'm so excited to talk to him. So I'm going to quit talking in a moment. Not yet. That's a preview. It's coming up. I want to set him up properly, though. This is a story that I borrowed from Tom Sietsema of the Washington Post, in which he wrote about Portland, Oregon. Imagine a city where no one honks their horns and drivers pause mid-block to assure pedestrians safe passage from one sidewalk to another. Picture an urban landscape painted in rivers, forests, and mountains, frontier land as if it was created by Alice Waters. Envision a part of the world where waiters write Albion before strawberries on a chalkboard menu to flag a local treat. Taxi drivers tag the restaurant you're going to when you simply say the address, Pock Pock. Breakfast and brunch are practically civic duties. An entire bookstore is devoted to matters of home and garden, and some of the Thai cooking rival Chiang Mai's raciest. Welcome to Portland, as in Portland, Oregon, the land of milk and honey. Also of coffee, tea, beer, wine, game, berries, crab, salmon, ice cream, and flavors from food trucks, and olive oil that chefs compare favorably to Italy's liquid gold. Dubbed Stumptown, a nickname acquired in mid-19th century, when logging outpaced the full clearing of trees, Portland is one of America's best food cities. It is also the home base for season 18 of Top Chef. It is where we find our very special guest, Shota Nakajima. He is the chef and owner of Taku. Born in Japan and raised in Seattle, Shota Nakajima began his culinary journey at age 16. Very young, working for a highly acclaimed sushi restaurant. At age 18, he moved to Osaka, Japan to learn the art of Japanese cuisine from Michelin star-rated chef Yasuhiko Sakamoto, an experience that greatly changed Shota's perspective on hospitality, of cooking, and his approach to food. Developing his own meticulous and imaginative culinary detail, and a stringent demand for high quality, Shota set out to expand Japanese cuisine in the United States by bringing fresh perspective on approachable Japanese comfort food through his two restaurants, Taku and Edana. At James Beard, let me do that again. A James Beard Award semifinalist for 3 years running, Shota seizes every opportunity to get outside and forage or fish, taking advantage of the abundance of wild goods in Washington's mountains and waters. He is in actually Seattle, Washington today. And please help me welcome Chef Shota Nakajima. He's our special guest. Hi, Chef. How are you?
Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome. Invite. Love the very descriptive bio. Made me feel special.
Was it all accurate?
You are special.
I just want to know, was he 100% truthful, or did he embellish at all?
No, it was perfect. I mean, I'm always in the mountains or woods if I can. Like, if I have a half day off, like, I'm in the woods probably from the night before, crashing in my car and then walking around for a bit.
Where do you go? Tell me where you go. I mean, you don't have to give out actually maps or.
No, I go everywhere.
We don't want your fans to find you, but where do you go?
I literally go anywhere. I look at the map. I'm like, oh, this is 3 hours away. I've never been to this mountain. I'm more than sure there's like, and I'll zoom into like maps. I'm like, oh, I see a Forest Service road. I could probably park my kayak somewhere on the side there and just crash for the night.
And what do you look for? What are you out for? Just anything and everything? Or
right now is spring season, so Miner's lettuce is coming out. I actually just picked some morels 2 days ago. Super freshies, natural. Nice. Spring kings are probably going to come out in about 2-3 weeks, and just a lot of spring ingredients that are going to start. You know, trout's going to start jumping around. Like, I was by one of the lakes, and I just saw fish swimming around.
I won't ask this question now, but be prepared for a question on Miner's lettuce.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
When you see those fish, are you? Now I remember up in the Pacific Northwest when the salmon. You know, we lived up in Alaska too. The salmon would run, and the king salmon, and you could literally reach in and grab them almost. I mean, they'd get away, but they were that. You could almost walk over their backs. They were so abundant and thick. Do you go out? You know, what do you look for in seafood? Some really great trout, I would imagine, river trout.
Seafood, trout's great. I mean, if it's ocean fishing, I mean, black cod, Cabezanza, rockfish that you get over here, which is delicious. Spot prawns when they're in Dungeon and Crab. Oyster farms all over the place.
Yeah, you're living in just a heavenly, you know, seafood, you know, right out of the water. All the best seafood in the world some of the best seafood in the world comes from that location. Let's talk about Top Chef a little bit here. Right at the top, I wanted to, because I am excited that it is back. And during this last year, I talked to Rachel quite a bit. And I was very anxious to see how Top Chef would handle the decimation of the restaurant industry. I mean, so many friends, I'm in the business, and so many hundreds and thousands and, you know, restaurants just went under and weren't able to hold on. I wanted to see how Top Chef would handle that. And long known, and I know you're going to agree with this, it's been, you know, this TV show is long known and respected among chefs that I've worked with, everybody that I've worked with through the years, as really the show that gets it right for chefs. And Top Chef also had to adapt to this pandemic right alongside with the restaurants, the restaurant owners, and the chef that the TV show loves and respects so much. From your perspective, what was different about this season on Top Chef? What is different so far in this season on Top Chef?
I mean, I think I can speak for a few people. I don't want to say everyone, but for myself, at least, it was different because I missed cooking with people at this point. I think it was very different in the sense of, like, if I went on a year before, I'd be like, oh, I'm competing on this Top Chef and blah, blah, blah. I'll learn something. This year, or for season 18, getting invited, I was more, you know, nervous but excited to work with people and feel that energy again, just because I've been missing that so much. And, you know, a few episodes have gone on, and I just really, really have been enjoying the relationships that I've made. I still talk to literally everyone that I've competed against. pretty much on a weekly basis, quick phone calls here and there, here and there. Sometimes inappropriate memes here and there.
That's interesting that you mentioned that. I had not thought of that. It's really interesting that you missed the energy of cooking alongside people. We have a lot of musicians on the show and they talk about missing the audience, right? They get their energy from that. I hadn't thought about that in the chef world, but it's the same, right? I mean, you are like rock stars, really. You are musicians with food. You are giving us something that's nourishing to our soul, to our bodies, to our social existence, and cooking that alongside, you know, with fellow chefs and staff. God, I hadn't thought about that. That's such a great point.
Wow.
And, you know, like you work with people, you learn so much more of different things, and it's just fun. I love working with people. It's one of my favorite things, just seeing how, you know, things adapt and move forward. So
I was wondering if the challenges posed by COVID played a factor in the competition so far, like mentally for you, physically, personally. Things are different. You know, you have different rules and different that Top Chef is so great at following and making sure that it's you're safe. You know, that you guys are taken well care of and following all these safety and precautionary sanitary rules. But that's another element that Top Chef has never really had in such an intense way. And most kitchens haven't had an intense way. Restaurants haven't. That's a whole nother factor that must weigh on your mental and your physical abilities.
Yeah. It definitely does. You get, you know, put in this space where outside there were protests going on, there was smoke going on. It wasn't really safe with the pandemic to be outside. Like, you know, you don't want to go outside, to step outside to even take a little fresh air walk, because what happens if a protest of 100 people come by and we're trying to keep our bubble really tight to make sure that COVID doesn't come inside, because, you know, that was the number one thing throughout the. And, you know, I was very happy about that, because I would have said something if I didn't feel safe. But there was literally no moment to, like, say anything about it, which was amazing. But, I mean, I don't know. It was my first year doing that, too. So I don't have another year to compare it to. But I think it was good, because I just got to kind of focus on only the cooking part. Everything else just felt surreal. You know, like the smoke going on and driving to a quick fire while the smoke's going, you're like, oh shoot, something weird's gonna happen today for sure.
Well, you guys were like ground zero for just protesters and riots and all the different things in the political agendas and rallies and all that. That you're right. I mean, for months and not never ending. And then since you brought it up, I did want to bring this up with you and get your opinion on the current climate in America right now, and this tragic intolerance of Asian Americans among some hate groups. How important is it for you, you know, to proudly show the best of your heritage while you have this opportunity on the television, and your culture through your leadership and your cooking skills? Do these times and this and what's going on weigh on your thoughts as an Asian American, and do they factor into your career?
I think I've always been consistent in what I've tried to do. And there's a part of it, I think, aligns. You know, a big thing I had when I was a kid was I hated just bringing rice balls and like stuff to school, because it made me unproud of what I was eating in school. People would point a finger, say you. I would go to my mom and be like, can you stop packing lunches for me? I want a Lunchable and an apple, like everyone else.
Yeah.
So, you know, a big thing of mine was like, I want Japanese kids, Asian kids, whoever, to be proud of their heritage with their food. And, you know, think it's cool to have something different. I think it's changing. I think the newer kids have that. And for me, I think that's what I'm going to keep pushing towards, because I genuinely believe in that, and something that, you know, drives me to want to do that part.
I love that. That's because at that age, that's where we all get bullied and, you know, we have. And at that age, if you can, you've got this platform to really be proud of that and let the kids like you at that age go, hey, I've got something cool. And the kids that don't know about it go, hey, I want some of that. That smells good. That looks great. Oh, man. Well, I kept telling my mom, quit packing me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I would give those away. So I would have traded with you.
So the messages I got through Instagram was, watched it with my kid. Kid's Japanese, always wanted American lunch. All of a sudden started asking for Japanese lunches. I'm like,
Yes. I like that the Top Chef this season has really kind of focused in on some of the cultures from some of the chefs and really spent episodes exploring them. How was your experience with that when they?
It was incredible watching. I mean, every day was a new cooking lesson. Every day I learned something new cooking with these people. I mean, what, talking about the past ones that already aired, like the Pan African one, I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, okay, Gabe's doing that, I'm gonna do the same thing. Avishar's using spices like that, I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm gonna make it together. Rio's doing that, I'm gonna use that technique. That sounds smart. And like on the fly, I'm coming up with stuff, right? But it's, I mean, they didn't have soy sauce. They didn't have the Japanese ingredients that I usually work with that I rely on. So it put me into this place, which is uncomfortable. And I had to think on my feet to look around to figure out, like, cheating in class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which was amazing because I learned so many different new techniques. It widened the door and the things that I want to learn more.
That's what I was going to ask you. What was one of the techniques that you take away from this that that opened your eyes, that experience, and you want to dig into more in your cooking?
I would say moles. I want to learn more and more about moles. I think they're very interesting. And it just goes on and on forever. I think it's one of those things that you can learn more about it. And the more you learn, you realize that you don't know anything.
I love moles. And by the way, I'll be your taste tester for you.
I volunteered
for a chef. Okay, so for listeners that maybe have not been keeping up with Top Chef and haven't been to one of your restaurants or know much about you, tell us, can you describe your cooking, ultimately who you are through your cooking and for the
listeners? Who I am through my cooking. I have fun. I like eating food. I like making snacks.
I like eating food. Very, very good.
I like chatting with people. I like it when people around me are having a good time. I guess what kind of chef I am.
That's good.
But I'm a big person that loves energy. That's why I love working in restaurants. That's why any kind of concept it is, if people are happy coming through, I see that energy and I feel that energy working. That's my happy place. That's when I'm like in an ultimate high.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the type of cooking, I am very Japanese based. When I was 15, 16, I started in Japanese food. I went to go learn Chinese, Italian, and French for a little bit, for a year and a half, just to kind of get the knowledge, like the basics.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to Japanese cuisine. So I've been doing Japanese cuisine for pretty much 15, 16 years now. But as time goes, I try to learn every day. So I hire people who have different background mm-hmm. from me. I can learn from them.
Yeah,
they can learn from me and it turns into a club. I mean, throughout the years I've had restaurants, I learn every single day something new, some new technique they have, and then incorporate it together and like brainstorm and think about it. And it's a mix now, but based off of Japanese cuisine.
Can I ask you real quickly on that regard? Are you, as you're discovering these different recipes, Japanese recipes, are you noticing within those recipes any other cultural influences? If not in the general area within I'm just going to throw this out as far as miles, because it's 1,000 miles, or even around the world. Is there anything like that? Or do you incorporate other cultural ingredients and so forth that might meld well into a Japanese recipe?
I think of dishes in a very structural way. And when I do, it's based off of, I think, Japanese mindset of ingredient first and building around it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do that, it can technically be anything, right? You can use any ingredient that goes within. So I don't know. I'd say Japanese focus, influenced by everything. Sorry, was that the question?
Well, I guess maybe I'll make it more specific. Have you ever used Mexican chilies in a Japanese recipe?
Yes, I have.
Or Italian pasta?
Yes,
or how about, what is that? Oh, I can't think of the paste. It's Middle Eastern hummus.
Hummus, I have not with hummus. I should. I was thinking about that. My mom loves hummus.
Russian vodka.
You can call it. You can call
like
it
wasabi.
The
doc.
Chase it with a little bit of soy sauce. There you go. Here's a Japanese dish.
By the way, I learned that American wasabi is not true wasabi sauce.
Oh, really?
No. It is horseradish mixed with, I believe it's sour cream and then green food coloring. Because it is very rare and it's very expensive in Japan.
Yeah. It's actually, it's expensive, but over here, there's a few places that grow them.
They do? Okay. Then I stand corrected.
Yeah.
So wait, when I order, so there's like my grocery store actually does really good sushi. So I get it all the time.
Here we go.
I promise it's really, really good.
I don't know. I think you need to take Chef
Shota. Shota is going to like, going to be like, peace out. Not to have in this interview. The wasabi, is that not real wasabi in there then?
No, it's definitely real wasabi.
Because it lights me up. Okay. So it's legit.
No, it's not real wasabi. Sorry. It's not.
Chef, do you ever get to Austin, Texas? I think you need to go.
Come to Austin, please.
Go show Kat what it's all about at the grocery store.
I was actually in Austin like 2 weeks ago.
What?
I was visiting.
And you didn't call Kat?
Kat's the hostess with the mostest around Austin.
Next time you have to get in touch with me and we'll do like a food
tasting.
Yes.
There you go.
So much good food.
There you go.
Chef Shoto Nakajima is our special guest. He is on Top Chef Season 18, Portland. So glad they're doing Portland. Follow Chef Shoto Nakajima on Instagram at Chef Shota. That's spelled Chef, Shota. And tune in Thursdays at 8/7 Central, BravoTV.com/Top-Chef on Instagram. Find them at Bravo Top Chef. We'll be right back after this quick break. The Jeremiah Show.
Top Chef is broadcast on Bravo TV on Thursdays at 8/7 Central. There's a new batch of 15 extremely talented executive chefs and restaurant owners on Top Chef this season, representing a cross-section of kitchens and food from across the country. Catch the action as these talented chefs vie for the coveted title of Top Chef, bringing their unique skill sets, diversity of cuisines, and gamut of flavors to the Top Chef kitchen in Portland. With Portland as a picturesque backdrop and culinary inspiration, the chefs compete in a variety of challenges, including celebrating PDX's Pan-African cuisine, defeating hundreds of frontline workers, and crabbing on the Oregon coast in a tribute to culinary icon and Oregonian James Beard. Tune in Thursdays at 8/7 Central. That's bravo.com/top-chef on Instagram at Bravo Top Chef. Chef Shota Nakajima is our special guest from Top Chef Season 18 Portland. Follow Chef Shota Nakajima on Instagram at Chef Shota.
Hi there, everybody. This is Ann Hitch, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. We are Ann
and Heather,
and we are better together.
Alice was a poser, the kind who take her clothes off and sit in the room full of frozen faces. I heard she went to find God in the Indian subcontinent. It's mad she had to go so far in you. Fall on me, watch TV, and pass me the phone. But we creep indoors. You know I need to. your mold now, to run and never turn around, sparkle the world with what Alice found.
My name's Danny Trejo, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. And on it, I'm talking about my cookbook, Awesome. Hey, I got a documentary coming out, a record called Satisfy My Soul. Check it out. Trejo's music, Jeremiah. You're loved, Holmes.
The Jeremiah Show. Your show to hear the best new music and exclusive artist interviews. You won't hear personal interviews like these anywhere else.
Hi, this is Johnny Valenti. I'm the owner of Birdland Jazz Club in New York City. For nearly four decades, going dark during the global pandemic taught me how important the arts, especially music, are to each of our cultures and our health. Musicians literally bring life and joy to our daily lives. Radio shows that support musicians and music, like The Jeremiah Show, are so important in keeping music alive. I hope that you will keep listening and supporting musicians. Please support the music. And please come and visit me at Birdland when you're in New York City. Thank you.
Welcome back to The Jeremiah Show. We have special guest, Chef Shota Nakajima, with us today. And I have a burning question about my favorite thing to eat on the whole planet.
Wasabi?
Well, apparently I've never had real wasabi before, so I don't know if that's my favorite. But what is my favorite and what I could eat every day of my life is Japanese curry. Shota, tell us about, educate the people.
Educate cat, meaning cat.
And you also have to tell me how to make it, because is it possible to make Japanese curry in my home?
It is.
Okay. Talk about that.
We're starting out with Japanese curry. I grew up eating it once or twice a week because it's my mom's favorite food.
Love your mom.
She loves curry from her childhood till now to this day.
Yeah.
What is it? There's so many different versions, right? Like, I love summer ones where they have more summer vegetables. I don't know if you've had those before. In Japan, there's like curry shops. But the base of it, it came from, I think the spices came from India, and the base of how to cook it was mixed in with England, or was brought over by England. I want to say the fifth. No, shoot. I don't remember.
Just pick a number.
I mean,
no one's gonna fact check you.
Yeah, it's older than America for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Sounds good.
I mean, how you started, like the base way of starting it, you have onions, and you cook them down until they're completely browned with a little bit of salt. Mm-hmm. If you want to quicken the process up, use a Dutch oven, add a pinch of baking soda because it helps break down the fiber.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And you close the lid because that way the moisture stays in there. So when you're cooking it, it doesn't burn, but you can get that really dark brown in like 25 minutes. You don't even need to mix it for the most part.
Wow.
And in there, I'll add grated carrots, ginger, garlic, and then I put curry spice in, kind of roast a little bit.
Okay, I'm going to stop you. Curry spice, is that just something that you buy at the store and it's just curry spice? Like, where do you get that?
There's a bunch of different ones. If you like Japanese curry, I recommend the SNB one because that's the classic curry powder, I'd say. It's usually like a tin can, and it's
okay. I'm literally writing this down.
So you put that in, and then add some flour and stretch it out slowly and surely. While it's stretching out, that's when I'll grate apples and bananas and let it oxidize on the side.
Uh-huh.
And I put that in a little tiny bit of honey, soy sauce, Worcestershire sauce.
It's so hard.
Tiny bit of chocolate, and I put my ingredients in and let it cook. So it's actually very similar to a mole.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I do, because I'm gluten free, unfortunately. Yeah. Can I do like an almond flour or something like that?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Do I have to add like xanthan gum and like all those like thickeners?
No. I mean, there's curries that don't even have flour in them in Japan.
Oh. Okay.
So if you wanted to add a little bit of texture. I'm not the biggest fan of xanthan gum, to be completely honest, because sometimes it has that like
flavor.
It's more the stickiness. It's like,
oh,
like almost like gummy. Weird on your lips.
Gluey,
well, yeah. I mean, it is kind of meant to be like a glueish, right? Yeah. Okay.
So I think almond flour, that would work real well.
Okay.
Or if you wanted to just add texture to stuff, like in a puree type form, mm-hmm. another good one is you get tofu and you press all the moisture out. And you put that in with kind of a liquid form, so it gives a little bit more texture, consistency. But it's not dairy free, but it has that clean nut flavor, and it's protein, so it's healthy.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that when I discovered Japanese curry, what I love is like it's. I remember trying to describe it to people, and just being, it's almost like a gravy. It's just like this brown gravy, and you pour it over the rice, and you can put whatever you want in it. But you put apples and bananas in mm-hmm. there.
I put a little bit of oxidized apples and bananas in there.
No peel on the apple though, right?
No peel.
Yeah, obviously. And do you just mash it?
I grate it or something, and I let it sit for like 30 minutes and let the air hit it, so it turns brown and the sugar kind of concentrates, and I use that. And it reduces it down.
Have you been to the
never thought.
Hurry Curry of Tokyo up there in Seattle?
I haven't. I need to.
I do.
There's one in Seattle?
Yeah. Tei Yoshitami owned one of the part owners. He opened one up in Seattle a couple years ago.
I used to run that restaurant.
Oh, really?
That thing has a cult following, man. You got to check it out. They've got some really authentic Japanese curries. Really, really good. All right. Let's move on from the curry, if you guys don't mind. And Kat's up.
I totally forgot we were on a radio show right now.
That's a good
time. It was interesting, very interesting. And thank you for the advice. And send the bill to Kat in Austin, Texas, P.O. Box. Okay, what's your favorite dish to cook? Your signature? Because I know you have one. At least you do on Top Chef. Right? Do you have a signature dish?
A signature? That's hard.
Chicken? Something with chicken?
I would say black cod. I think black cod is a signature. I do this weird thing where I marinate it. It's an old Japanese technique called yuanyaki. It's 1-1-1 ratio of sake, soy, mirin. Mm. The story behind it is this guy named Yuan lived in the inlands of Japan. So he wanted to figure out, this is like 1500s. So he wanted to figure out how to bring fish back into his village without it letting it go bad. So he started marinating it in sake, soy, mirin, bringing it over and grilling it. And now that's still a classic. I still use the recipe from the first, like old school 1-1-1 ratio of sake, soy, mirin, and add some aromatics. And then I take it out and I don't wrap it, and I let the skin side dry out in the fridge. I put it close to the fan and let it sit for at least a day or two. That way it gets completely dry. And when I broil it, it gets crunchy on the top, a potato chip. And you have that nice flaky.
That's amazing.
Wow, I am starving.
Chef, why is food important?
Why is food important? Number one, I love snacks. Makes me happy. Mm-hmm. I think it's a way I learned to communicate with people throughout. You know, I started at a young age. It's something I've always done. I think it's a way I express myself. And it's a way I show sincerity and love towards my family and my friends. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what food is for me.
I'm going to ask you this question, and then we're going to take a quick break and let you think about it for a minute. We'll be right back on the other side and get the answer. Are your ancestors with you when you cook? We are talking with
I like that.
Chef.
That's good.
Shota Nakajima. He's on Top Chef season 18 in Portland. You can follow Chef on Instagram at Chef Shota, S-H-O-T-A. And tune in Thursdays at 8/7 Central on BravoTV.com/top-chef and on Instagram at Bravo Top Chef. We'll be right back.
Top Chef is broadcast on Bravo TV on Thursdays at 8/7 Central. There's a new batch of 15 extremely talented executive chefs and restaurant owners on Top Chef this season, representing a cross-section of kitchens and food from across the country. Catch the action as these talented chefs vie for the coveted title of Top Chef, bringing their unique skill sets, diversity of cuisines, and gamut of flavors to the Top Chef kitchen in Portland. With Portland as a picturesque backdrop and culinary inspiration, the chefs compete in a variety of challenges, including celebrating PDX's Pan-African cuisine, defeating hundreds of frontline workers, and crabbing on the Oregon coast in a tribute to culinary icon and Oregonian James Beard. Tune in Thursdays at 8/7 Central. That's bravo.com/top-chef on Instagram at Bravo Top Chef. Chef Shota Nakajima is our special guest from Top Chef Season 18 Portland. Follow Chef Shota Nakajima on Instagram at Chef Shota.
This is the Daniel Emmett Show. I've stolen this moment from our host, Jeremiah. He's asked me to give you the title of the song, Che vuole questa musica stasera? And that is a song that I fell in love with when I heard it for the first time, used in a soundtrack of the movie The Man from U.N.C.L.E. back, I believe it was in the mid-2010s, and just had to record it, and it is going to be a part of my upcoming album releasing later this year.
Almost past, I think I come to see myself at last, and I see that the time spent confused was the time that I spent without you, and I feel myself in blue. My darling, be home soon. It's not just these few hours, but I've been waiting since I traveled for the great relief of having you to talk to.
Hey, you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. I'm Zeke Cam.
And I'm Taylor Morton, and we made the movie The Last Blockbuster that you can get from Blockbuster Video on DVD Blu-ray combo at benblockbuster.com.
The Jeremiah Show, the only place to hear the Mike Gormley host interview series, bringing you iconic music business managers, musicians, and the players who have created your favorite music from 1960 to the 2000s. Find all of Mike's past interviews in the Jeremiah Show music catalog on thejeremiahshow.com or your favorite podcast sites.
Like an old friend, kinder than expected. That Cadillac came, gave our girl a ride. Loss has no end, it binds to our connection. We don't speak of it, don't even try. If you could help me to share the trouble that you've got burning in you, then you can help me and in our time together her memory will ever shine like golden embers in the night.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. We are with Chef Shota Nakajima. He is our special guest today, Top Chef Season 18 in Portland. Before the break, I asked you, Chef, a question that I'm going to let you think about a little bit longer because we are going, and the question was this. Are your ancestors with you when you're cooking? And we're going to hold off on that answer because we are wrapping up radio. We're going to go into overtime with the chef and get that answer. So I'm going to tease you. You got to go to the podcast to listen for the answer and a whole lot more. Kat is going to ask Chef some rapid fire questions. Rapid fire, pun intended, I think. Yeah, Kat, it's all you.
Are you ready, Shota?
Is it like a quick fire? Because I'm not ready.
Let's watch you run around your living room.
It's rapid fire. Just first thing that pops into your head. Okay, only five questions. This is easy. You got this. This is totally fine. You want to like loose? You want to loosen up a little bit? Okay, ready. First one is, what did you have for breakfast today?
I had natto and rice.
What's that? What's
natto? Natto is fermented soybeans and rice.
Ooh.
It's like the breakfast I go to all the time.
I love it. It sounds like my kind of breakfast. Second question, mountains, city, or beach?
Mountains.
I think I knew that about you.
Yes.
All right. Number three, French fries dipped in mayo. Yes or no?
Yes. Yes. I love mayo. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, if it's Kewpie, it's better. Just say.
If it's what?
Kewpie mayo. It's a Japanese mayo. If you haven't
had I got to write that down too.
I have a feeling Kat's rapid fire questions are validation for I think for things that she likes.
That's it. That's all it is. That's all it is.
Shota's my new best friend. Okay.
There you go.
Number four. What are you not very good at?
What am I not good at? I'm not good at snowboarding.
Oh, see, I could teach you. I'm good at that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've been a teacher for a long time.
You make curry.
I'll teach you. Snowboarding because it. All the cool kids were doing it. And then it was weird because my feet were together.
Yeah. See, I can't do like the separate feet. That's dangerous for me. All right. Last one. Are you a night owl or are you a morning person?
I am both.
Hmm.
Oh, wow.
I'm up.
Are you a
like
vampire?
But I'm usually up by 5:30 or 6.
Wow. Yeah. Very cool. So, well, that is.
I always take a solid nap in the middle of the day. That's like my.
Absolutely.
Naps are great.
We like naps.
Yes.
Matter of fact, Chef Shota Nakajima is our special guest. He is on Top Chef Season 18, Portland. So glad they're doing Portland. Follow Chef Shota Nakajima on Instagram at Chef Shota. That's spelled Chef. S-H-O-T-A. And tune in Thursdays at 8/7 Central, BravoTV.com/top-chef on Instagram. Find them at Bravo Top Chef. We'll be right back after this quick break. The Jeremiah Show.
Hey, what's up? It's Carter Rubin. I was privileged enough to be crowned the winner of season 19 of The Voice. You can go listen to my music on Apple Music, iTunes, YouTube Music, and Spotify. And you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
Well, it gets you down, but it don't make it right. Needing my personal intervention. What a waste of time, 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 time.
You're listening to The Jeremiah Show. This is Zay Romeo. I am a contestant on season 20 of The Voice, and you can catch me on all my socials at Zay Romeo.
Check out The Jeremiah Show Facebook and YouTube pages for exclusive videos of our Jeremiah Show guest interviews.
What am I waking for? Am I waiting for a sign that I'm brave enough to follow? Can I just fail enough to bail out? I'm in my Wednesday suit. I'm just so sick of this commute. Are they always speaking to me? Only advertisers know me. Maybe I'm just falling away, counting down the days, trying to make a better mistake. Oh, 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 call you when I land. Don't think about the distance. Do you understand? Not everything is missing. Oh, oh, we're gonna figure.
Welcome back to Dr. D's question at the top.
Yes, the question, it's a two-parter in one question. What was the last thing you burned by accident and on purpose?
Ooh, the last thing I burned on accident. I was doing a video shoot and I was making a sauce. I needed to redo my sauce because I forgot that I had it on low temp, and I ran down to the grocery store to grab something in my pocket.
And
so that was dangerous.
And on purpose?
Burned on purpose. 2 days ago, I was making s'mores and I burned my marshmallows.
Good answer.
They're good that way.
All right.
Yeah,
now
that way.
Yeah.
Now the question we've teased for about 10 minutes
yes.
here that I had. Are your ancestors with you when you cook,
yeah.
Chef?
Are my ancestors with me? I guess I've never thought of it that way, but I try to represent the different Japanese historic food that hasn't been conveyed to the U.S. yet. Like, explaining what, what was the dish I was talking about earlier? I totally forgot about the dish I was talking about.
A miso? Miso cod?
Miso cod, or yeah, the yuan yaki, like, you know, it's a very old technique. It's, mm-hmm. you know, older than most countries. And I think that's an interesting one. So kind of introducing that, like I was doing a demo on tempura and introducing that, like tempura actually came from Portuguese people in the 1500s. It's under this category called namban cuisine. Alliums are included in that as well. So all Japanese dishes that are, you know, have allium are technically from the Portuguese people, and, you know, explaining mm-hmm. all that, because I like to just explain and teach things as I go mm-hmm. Through food as well, because it interests me. I like learning about history that way. School, no, that, yes. So
yeah,
I think in that sense, yes, I do. I try to represent what Japanese people have been doing for years in an approachable way.
We don't have a lot of time left, but I did want to hear about this really famous chef that you work with, Chef Yasuhiko Sakamoto, in his restaurant. And what was the most, did I pronounce correctly?
Yasuhiko Sakamoto.
Yeah, Yasuhiko. Okay. Yeah. What was the most important lesson that you learned from working with him? Well, what a great experience.
I mean, he was just a very inspiring guy. Insane too, in the best way possible. I mean, he had that restaurant open for 36 years. When the lights were on, there wasn't a minute he wasn't working behind that counter. You don't see that kind of work ethic, that mentality. And he doesn't just chef, he raises people, like a lot of people, like even my grandpa after the war, when he took a lot of his employees and they're 13, 14, 15, needed a place to stay. They still work for my grandpa. And that's a very different mindset, I think, of how chefs kind of teach you and mm-hmm. take care of you, and, you know, making sure you're set up for success after you leave. And that's what hospitality is. So I think those are the most important lessons that I've taken from it.
What is the chef culture these days? What is that like? Give us a poll of, you know, a finger on the pulse.
In Japan or just in general?
Just in general. What are your feelings?
I think it's a very interesting time, right? I was talking to my manager yesterday. It's like, what do we do? I've learned a lot of bad habits over here working in the industry. And I just want to make sure that, like, and, you know, when you start to turn 25, 26, 27, you start to be like, okay, what are these guys doing? Mm-hmm. And I want to teach 21, 22-year-old kids better habits and something they can look up to and having a better company structure, because I do think the restaurant culture formula is broken.
Yeah.
Mm. It's an obvious thing. It's a norm thing for it to have high turnover. It's a norm thing for it to have problems. And it's kind of ridiculous thinking about it now, I guess, after taking a break of like, why is it okay that we're doing something broken over and over and over? Mm-hmm. So those are just things that for myself, I know some of my friends in the industry, we're all kind of talking about it and trying to figure out a different solution and a different formula of how to operate. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite place to go to in Tokyo? Your favorite restaurant? Give them a plug.
Favorite Tokyo restaurant to go in Tokyo? That's hard. A favorite place?
What about Seattle? While you're
Seattle. I would say dim sum before COVID.
Okay.
Because I am an energy person, and that dim sum energy, when you walk in, you sit down, you can have food in front of you in 30 seconds. Yes.
And tell them, chef sent you. How, I hope this isn't too sensitive a subject. What's the status on your restaurants and how are you surviving? So I know you had to close.
Adana, I am completely out, actually. Yeah. Okay. I'm completely out. I'm planning to do more cooking as a pop-up on the side. And then I have Taku, which I actually just reopened yesterday. That was my grand opening day yesterday.
I saw that online. I'm like, there's no way he did that. And then he's doing the show today.
Oh, it was crazy. I mean, Monday, Tuesday, I was in the woods doing a commercial shoot. Wednesday, I'm doing grand opening. I got this. I got signings and stuff I'm doing tomorrow.
Thank you for your time. We really appreciate you talking with us.
Before you go, I have a question regarding the Miner's Lettuce. I mentioned that at the front of the program. Yeah. We have lots of it up on the hill where I live. So I'm curious as to the best way to, I guess the right word would be forage it. And my wife knows what it looks like more than I do. And then what is one of your best recipes, if you will, or dishes, let's put it that way, that you use Miner's Lettuce in?
So Miner's Lettuce has more of a meat, like a texture. It has a little bit of a plump to it. So I do like to pair it with kind of a heavy, meaty dish, a light salad that's tossed in something. So when you're biting into the meat, it's not just a little bit of a green. It's like this nice bite that you get that kind of cuts through. How to forage, just make sure it's not right by the trail where it's high traffic because there's a lot of dogs. And unless you want the salty Miner's Lettuce, that's up to you. I just don't recommend it. That's my
I hear you. That or poison oak, one of the two. God.
Okay, we've got to go, unfortunately, Chef. And you've got a lot of stuff to do, so we should let you go. Get back to your kitchen. Tell us where listeners out there going to Seattle, where we can come find you and eat your great food.
I am on Capitol Hill. It's 5 minutes driving distance from downtown Seattle. Come by. It's called Taku. I have a bunch of neon lights. You won't miss it.
Okay, cool. And last question for the listeners out there watching Top Chef right now. Give us something. Give us a little tease. Don't give away any trade secrets, but a little tease listen. Why do we want to what's the next show?
What's the next?
I don't know how to ask the question without getting in trouble.
What's coming up?
Yeah, you got anything to tease us on?
What can you tease us with?
So we tune in. We don't forget to tune in.
Well, tonight there's a big episode airing. I don't know how much I can say about it, but it's a really good.
It's good. We should watch it. That's good enough.
There you go.
All right, Chef. You get final words. Anybody you want to thank? Anybody you want to say hello to before we say goodbye to you for now?
I'm going to give this one to my dog. I want to thank my dog for always being there and keeping me happy.
Oh, did you say your dog?
What?
Did you say your dog?
Yeah, my dog.
What's your dog's name?
Dodger.
Dodger.
Excellent.
Are you a Dodgers fan?
I'm not a Dodgers fan.
That's not where it comes from.
I mean, I like the Dodgers, but when I actually adopted him, and you already had that name.
Oh, okay. Chef,
I was going to change it to Miso or Dashi or something like that.
Yeah. You are so awesome.
Yes, you are. Thank you. Thank you so much for being generous with your time, Chef. Chef Shota Nakajima, check him out tonight. There's a really big episode, he says, coming up, and we've got to check it out.
Yep.
You don't want to miss it. Top Chef Season 18, Portland. It's every Thursday, 8, 7 Central, bravotv.com/top-chef on Instagram, Bravo Top Chef. Chef Shota Nakajima, he is on Instagram at Chef Shota. Thank you, Chef. Everybody, listen more, communicate, and evolve. Have a great week.
Was a boy who was a dreamer, and he flew so high and proud in a world full of people out to cut his young ass down. No one ever understood a single word he said, and they cast him to the wolves when he wasn't well and fed. But boys, we've got a riser in our midst. He will get the last slap, it's the last thing he did. And he used to roll around in that red dirt mud. But now he's skipping town in that dreamer's out for blood. Don't stop going south, cause they'll let you play music real damn loud. Don't stop heading south, they will understand the words that are pouring from your mouth. And that dreamer called his daddy to tell him what he did. The masses screamed the lyrics of a messed up kid. And then he told his daddy he was never coming back to be cut down again in a town like that. He surely came to learn, people come to watch you fall. That dreamer is out to make a name and a fool out of them all. And they'll never understand that boy and his kind, cause all they comprehend is a worthless dollar sign.
You've been listening to The Jeremiah Show. I am Miles Zuniga from Fastball, and you can find me every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at www.facebook.com/MilesZunigaLovesYou. I do a live stream. I'd love to see you there. Thank you.
Hi, this is comedian Maj Chobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show on AM 1290 KZSB Santa Barbara. Listen, man.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at hjlrestaurantadvisors.com. Check out our website at thejeremiahshow.com. We are on SoundCloud. Please subscribe on iTunes, podcast The Jeremiah Show. Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify, The Jeremiah Show. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the airwaves at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dr. D. Dugan's Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to The Jeremiah Show with Kat and Dr. D. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at thejeremiahshow.com. Follow us on Instagram at The Real Jeremiah Show. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and sound engineer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Communicate. Listen more. Evolve.
They were beautiful. They looked beautiful.